If you have your Bibles, we're going to be in Matthew chapter 3, sermon number 5, and walk through the Gospel of Matthew. Just to echo Tali on Taiwan, man. When we were in South Asia in November, we had some people that came over from there that are working with the Tibetan Buddhists in that part of the world, and the tension in Taiwan with China and other nations there is real. They're not, just pray for their protection and pray for God to give them supernatural ability to stay there, because it's not good and the tension is high. And definitely pray for Erica. And I went to college with her husband David, and just a great family, and loves Jesus and loves taking the gospel to people that don't know it. All right, Matthew chapter 3, we get the baptism of Jesus here. If you like to fill in blanks, you can grab this little card here. You can walk through that together. Also, I think now would be a good time to tell you that we're starting the 4:30 service back next Sunday. So any of you that can and will come to the 4:30 service, it would free up some space in here. Generally speaking, MLK weekend is a low Sunday for us compared to the next 4 or 5 weeks. So if you'll look around and see the 12 empty seats in this room, you will understand why we need to create another service to make room for people. So if you can come at 4:30, and you probably can, please do. Okay, Matthew 3. After we get, last week we saw John the Baptist and his message, repent for the kingdom of heaven is near. He talks about how the axe is laid at the tree and that Jesus is coming with his winnowing fork and his unquenchable fire. And Jesus comes from Galilee to Jordan to John the Baptist, who was a baptizer, right? To be baptized by him. Jesus comes to John to be baptized by him. Verse 14, John didn't want to do it, okay? John would have prevented him saying, I need to be baptized by you, and do you come to me? But Jesus answered him, let it be so for now, for thus it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness. Then John consented. And when Jesus was baptized, immediately he went up from the water, and behold, the heavens were opened to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and coming to rest on him. And behold, a voice from heaven said, this is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. Okay, this is a picture of Jesus' baptism, the Father's approval of him. And this is really, and we'll get to this, but there's such symbolism here of really a coronation of a king, God saying, this is my Son, the Spirit coming, anointing him. And this is a preparation for, we're going to get into chapter 4, Jesus' temptation, is calling his first disciples. He begins his ministry, chapter 5, 6, 7, the Sermon on the Mount. So this is just really the last thing before we see Jesus' ministry begin. And things here for us to learn, things that this isn't, things that this is, and hopefully we'll walk away with a better understanding of who Jesus is. First off, his baptism. Let's talk about what Jesus' baptism isn't, okay? First couple points. One, Jesus isn't baptized for repentance like the Jews were baptized, right? We talked about this last week when John said, I'm baptizing you for repentance, but the one who's coming after me is going to baptize you with the Spirit and with fire, right? So John's baptism is a baptism for repentance. And Jesus is baptized by John, but Jesus' baptism isn't for repentance because Jesus is sinless and he doesn't need to repent of anything, okay? So Jesus is not baptized for repentance because he's the sinless Son of God who is in no need of repenting. He's not like you. He's not like me. Jesus doesn't need to repent of anything because Jesus is the sinless Son of God, right? Secondly, Jesus' baptism isn't to receive righteousness because Jesus is perfectly righteous. Jesus, when he says it's fitting to fulfill all righteousness, Jesus isn't saying that he's doing this to receive righteousness. Why do we know that? Well, because he's the righteous one. He doesn't need to receive righteousness. He is righteous. He ain't like you and he ain't like me. All right? He doesn't need to receive something because he is self-sufficient in his holiness, in his righteousness. He is not repenting of any sins because he's the sinless Son of God. Jesus isn't baptized for repentance. He isn't baptized to receive righteousness. So why is Jesus baptized? He is baptized, third point, because he says here, it is fitting to do this to fulfill all righteousness. It's fitting. He says it's the right thing to do. That's why Jesus is baptized, because it is the right thing for him to do. And in it, last point there under that, Jesus identifies with us and he gives us an example for us to follow. Jesus is baptized to identify with us and to give us an example to follow. Isaiah prophesied about Jesus this, Isaiah 53, because he poured out his soul to death, this is the line, and was numbered with the transgressors. Right? He identifies with us. He numbers himself among us. Yet, at the same time, he bore the sins of many and makes intercession for the transgressors. It's a great prophecy from Isaiah about Jesus. Yet Jesus is numbered among the sinners, like you and like me. He is numbered among the transgressors, yet he intercedes for us. He's not like us. Yeah, he is numbered among us. He became a man like us, right? Being in appearance and quality with man, Philippians chapter 2, right? He says he's in appearance of man, but he's not like us, right? He's not like us. He's numbered among us, but he comes to make intercession for us. So Jesus' baptism is a baptism to show us that he's become like us. He's become one of us. And he gives us an example to follow, because his baptism, isn't like our baptism. There's a note there. Baptism, anytime there's baptism, okay? Baptism is a celebration of identification. We're celebrating that we belong to Jesus. That's what baptism is, okay? Baptism isn't some weird religious ritual or rite, okay? It's not just like some like, well, you gotta do it. Baptism is a celebration of identification. Jesus here is baptized to identify with us in our humanity. But you and I, when we're baptized, we are baptized to identify with Christ in his death, burial, and resurrection. I remember in college, my favorite professor in college, Dr. Dale Yance, who's with Jesus now, he talked about, this is in Greek class, okay? And he talked about the word baptizo, which is where we get the word baptize. And he said this, he told us, he said, Roman soldiers, when they were going out to fight for Rome, Rome didn't issue them swords like the military would issue weapons today. They had their own sword. And when they would leave, when they were marching out of the city, wherever they were, when they were leaving the city, go through the city gate, there would be a vat of pig's blood at the city gate, which is fun. And they would take their sword and they would dip their sword into the pig's blood, okay? And they were saying there that what I do with this sword, I do in the name of Rome. This sword now belongs to Rome. It's not just my sword anymore. It's Rome's sword. The word that Rome used for that dipping of that sword in the water was baptizo. It's this picture of identification, right? It's celebrating that we are identifying with something. They were identifying with Rome. We baptized to say we are identifying with Christ. Christ is baptized to say that he identifies with us in our humanity. Our baptism isn't like his baptism. He did it as an example for us, right? He didn't need to repent of any sin. He didn't need any righteousness. He had all that. He is baptized to be numbered among the transgressors so that he can make intercession for said transgressors. We, when we're baptized to identify with Christ in his death, his burial, and his resurrection. So, okay, here's how I would just say to you. If you haven't been baptized as a follower of Jesus, you should. You should be baptized as a follower of Jesus. Maybe you've been following Jesus for decades and you've never been baptized. Okay, you should get baptized, right? Why? To fulfill all righteousness, as Jesus talks about, to identify with Christ in his death, burial, and resurrection. If you haven't been, you should. And I wouldn't tell you to defile your conscience and anything like that, but here's what I would say to you, okay? Particularly, if you were baptized as an infant, hear me. I love my Anglican and Presbyterian brothers and sisters that I've grown so much from, okay? I've learned so much from them over the years. I've benefited so much from people that have a different view of baptism than I do, okay? And I don't think a view of infant baptism versus believer's baptism, which is what we practice here, I don't think that should ever cause you to break fellowship with somebody. All right? I don't think that is an issue that should cause us to break fellowship with someone. And I think you should be baptized as a believer. Okay? Both those things I think are true. Because in the Bible, I've learned so much from them, and what I see in the scriptures is that we should be baptized as believers. And so I wouldn't want you to defile your conscience. I wouldn't want to throw anything out from what we've learned from our brothers and sisters that have a different view than we do on this. And the Bible is pretty clear that if you haven't been baptized as a follower of Jesus, you should be. Right? We would encourage you to be. If you want to talk to somebody about that, our elders and staff would love to talk to you about that, because when we are baptized, it is fitting to fulfill all righteousness, and it helps us to identify with Christ and follow his example. All right, that's it on that. I think it's interesting that Jesus's ministry really begins here in baptism, and in the Gospel of Matthew, the last thing we see in Jesus's ministry is the Great Commission, where he tells us, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me, Matthew 28. And he says, go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to observe everything I've commanded you. And surely, or behold, I'm with you always to the end of the age. Okay? Baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Baptism is really important. Right? It is a way that we show the world that we belong to Jesus, that we are identifying ourselves as following Jesus. And it's something that we should celebrate, all right? And so I would encourage you, if you've never been baptized, you should be baptized to fulfill all righteousness and follow the example of Christ. Moving on. Made all my Presbyterian friends mad today. Next thing, after Jesus is baptized, immediately, he says, let's go back and read it. When he was baptized, this is verse 16, immediately he went up from the water, and behold, the heavens were opened to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove coming to rest on him. And behold, a voice from heaven said, this is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. A couple things. This is the picture of this coronation of a king here, right? The heavens are opened, the Spirit comes and anoints Jesus with the Spirit. Look, I would say the Spirit descends like a dove, not necessarily as a dove, okay? And this dove could represent so many things, okay? It could represent the dove after God floods the earth in the days of Noah. You remember what Noah sends out to find out whether the floods have subsided or not? A dove, right? He goes out, comes back, goes out, comes back, goes out, doesn't come back. That this wrath of God was over, and that he's coming back to gives him the rainbow, he's never going to flood the earth again. In Jesus' day, when the sacrificial system is still in place, a lamb was the sacrifice of choice, except most people couldn't afford to sacrifice a lamb. And so you know what they sacrificed? A dove. Jesus is the perfect sacrifice for us. This dove could represent so many things, but the main thing that it represents is that the Holy Spirit has come to anoint Jesus, right? To anoint him as the king. And then you see after that, you see the Father speaking to affirm that Jesus is indeed his beloved Son, in whom he is indeed well pleased. All of this picture takes us back to a couple of Old Testament passages. One in Isaiah 64, where he says, oh, that you would rend the heavens and come down. This is literally what happens here, right? Oh, that you would rend the heavens and come down, that the mountains might quake in your presence. God literally opens the heavens and comes down, descends, the Spirit descends like a dove, the Father affirming who Jesus is, completing this promise in Isaiah 64. Also in Isaiah 11, the Holy Spirit descending like a dove and resting on him says this, there shall come forth a shoot from the stump of Jesse, and a branch from his roots shall bear fruit. Verse 2, and the Spirit of the Lord shall rest on him, the spirit of wisdom and understanding, the spirit of counsel and might, the spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord, the Holy Spirit coming and resting on Jesus, anointing him as a fulfillment of Isaiah 11. And then the Father speaking and saying here, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Man, we could preach a whole sermon on this, and I'm not going to, but I could. Because there's so many in our world, man, there's so many people that have opinions about who Jesus is and what Jesus came to do. Even inside the church, there's people that have a really unbiblical view of Jesus, that don't see Jesus for who he is. They don't take him seriously for who he is as the beloved Son of God in whom God is well pleased. They want to round off the edges of Jesus and make him just some kind of a cult-like figure that came saying nice things, just trying to unite everybody around being peaceful and whatever, okay? But if we don't hold to the deity of Christ, meaning that Jesus is God's Son, that Jesus is God, and we are in a dangerous place. We strip the gospel of its power in so many ways when we do that. Jesus isn't just some guy who came and said some nice things and who was unfairly treated by the government. He was unfairly treated by the government, okay? But Jesus is so much more than just a nice, peaceful guy. Jesus is God's Son. This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. Man. Hebrews 1, just in case you didn't believe me. Long ago and many times in many ways, God spoke to our fathers by the prophets, but in the last days he's spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed, the heir of all things, through whom he also created the world. I love verse 3. Jesus, he is the radiance of the glory of God and an exact imprint of his nature, and he upholds the universe by what he says, by the word of his power. After making purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high, having become as much superior to the angels as the name he has inherited is much more excellent than theirs. Jesus' name is Son of God. It's more excellent than angel. For to which of the angels did God ever say, "You're my son, today I have begotten you"? Or again, "I will be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son"? And again, when he brings the firstborn into the world, he says, "Let all God's angels worship him." And of the angels, he says, he makes his angels winds and his ministers a flame of fire. But of the Son, he says, "Your throne, O God, is forever and ever. The scepter of uprightness is the scepter of your kingdom. You have loved righteousness and hated wickedness. Therefore, God, your God, has anointed you with the oil of gladness beyond your companions." Okay. Colossians 1 says, he, Jesus, is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For by Jesus, all things were created in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things were created through Jesus and for Jesus. And Jesus is before all things. And in Jesus, all things hold together. And Jesus is the head of the body of the church. Jesus is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, so that in everything Jesus might be first, preeminent. For in Jesus, all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, and through Jesus to reconcile to himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, making peace by the blood of his cross. He's got the whole world in his hands. He's got the wind and the rain in his hands. He's got the moon and the stars in his hands. He's got the little bitty babies in his hands, right? All things were created through him and for him. This is who Jesus is. Colossians 2, in him, in Jesus, the whole fullness of God dwells bodily. John 1:1-5, in the beginning was the Word, Jesus, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him nothing was made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men, and the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not, does not, will not overcome it. This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. And let's make sure we get a really clear, true picture of who Jesus is together, okay? Let's remember that. Later on in Jesus' ministry, when his authority is questioned, Jesus is going to bring up this moment of John's baptism and Jesus. Mark chapter 11. And they came again to Jerusalem. And as he was walking to the temple, the chief priests and the scribes and the elders came to him and said to him, "By what authority are you doing these things? Or who gave you this authority to do them?" And Jesus says to them, if you think Jesus is this always meek and passive guy, see him here. "I will ask you one question. Answer me, and I will tell you by what authority I do these things." Jesus said, "We asking questions now? Let me ask you a question. I got a question for you. And then you answer it, and I'll tell you what you want to know. Was the baptism of John from heaven or from man? Answer me." And they discussed it with one another, saying, "If we say from heaven, he will say, why then did you not believe him? And if we say from man, they were afraid of the people, for they all held that John really was a prophet." So they answered Jesus, "We don't know." And Jesus said to them, "Neither will I tell you by what authority I do these things." Mic drop. On to the next thing, right? Love Jesus, man. Love. So good. Until he does it to me. And then it hurts a little bit. Here's what I hope you get, okay? And I've told you this, I hope we get this. I hope my prayer for you, my prayer for me, okay? Not just for you, my prayer for me is that week after week after week when we are encountered by who Jesus is, we would be in awe of him. And not just in awe of him that he exists, but this Jesus who is the beloved Son of God with whom God is well pleased. This Jesus who is the exact imprint of the nature of God. This Jesus who holds all things together. This Jesus is your Savior and my Savior. This Jesus humbled himself and became obedient to death, even a death on the cross. And because of that, God has highly exalted him and given him a name that is above every name. That at the name of Jesus, every knee would bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. And my prayer is that week in and week out for the next 100 weeks or so, that we would just be in awe of Jesus, the Holy Son of God, that humbled himself to save his people from their sins. And that we would follow his examples. You'd follow his example. I would follow his example. When he's baptized, we would say, I should be baptized because Jesus gives us this example to follow. I know I got saved in 1996 and it's 2023, but I should be baptized, right? Because as the old saying goes, the best time to plant a tree is 20 years ago, right? The second best time to plant a tree is today. Maybe you should have been baptized 25 years ago, but you weren't. So you should get baptized now, right? Because you want to follow the example of Christ. And when we, and not just here, man, we're about to get this over and over and over again in the Sermon on the Mount, right? You're about to get it over and over and over. You have heard it said, "Do not commit murder, but I tell you, anyone that has anger in his heart against his brother is liable for judgment." Oh. You've heard it said that I do not commit adultery, but I say to you, anyone that looks at a woman with lustful intent has already committed adultery with her in his heart. You're going to get this over and over and over again. And because our sinless Savior loves us, he's going to challenge our view of a lot of things, okay? And my prayer is that if we believe him, we trust him, we would be obedient to him. That's my prayer in our following Jesus together. And this morning, man, if you've never put your faith in Christ, what a great day to put your faith in Jesus. What a great day to confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead. What a great day to go from being a religious, moral person to going to put your faith in Christ and being forgiven of your sins. And this morning, if you want to talk to somebody about that, man, we would love to talk to you about that in between services, you know, during one of the songs, whatever. I just encourage you to be obedient to whatever the Lord leads you to do this morning. Let's pray together. Father, we're thankful for your word. I'm thankful for the example that you've given us in your word. Thankful when we come to the Bible and we see who Jesus is, it is going to continue to shape us. We're going to find that you're not like some people say you are. But Lord, I pray that as we do that, we would be encouraged and challenged that this is love. This is love. Not that we love God, but that you love us and you gave your son whom you love, with whom you are well pleased. You gave your son to die, to be the sacrifice for our sins. And not just for our sins, but for the sins of the whole world. So Lord, help us. Help us to trust you. Help us to believe this. And help us to take this good news to Taiwan, to wherever we have opportunity to. Help us to do that. And Lord, help us to walk in obedience, to fulfill all righteousness because of the example of our Savior. Help us to in turn walk in obedience because we belong to Jesus. And Lord, thank you again for the opportunity we have to study your word and gather together for worship. I pray your spirit would move and we would be obedient to whatever it is that you lead us to do. And I pray these things in Christ's name.